Blog Talk Radio.
Shouts out to my family, my daughter, my 16-year-old is now 17-year-old. As of today, she is celebrating her birthday, July 30th, 17 years ago. My wife and I had our first child, Rochelle Perry, and she's really a joy to have, you know, as a child, you know. And that's all you can ask for is a kid that you're happy. You know, you love your kids. You know, don't get me wrong. I love all my kids individually and collectively. But you know, some of your kids is a joy, and Rochelle is definitely a joy. With that, I got to bring on my home girl. I went by her house yesterday. We kicked it. Mama, you on the line live, Rodney Perry live.
Rodney, I'm so proud of you in terms of you being a great dad and husband and family man. And it's not just a joke. It's real with you. You really spend quality time with the girls, and you help them a lot to learn how to grow into good women. By the way, they see a man can treat them good instead of a man can treat them bad, and that means a lot.
Now I got to ask you this, Mama. Now, I don't know if you know what today's show is going to be about, but I'm talking to two women that are great in the adult film industry. I mean, these are superstars. Like, people use that word porno stars, I think, too loosely. And these women are real stars. They've been in the game a long time, and they ain't nothing wrong with them. I don't know their story. We'll get into their story a little later. But what's your take on pornography? I mean, you're a woman of the cloth.
Well, here's the problem I have with it. It is easily addictive behavior.
Okay.
And whenever you need something outside of yourself to get you wherever you're trying to get, that's what makes a problem for it. I think people, can do whatever they want behind closed doors, but when it's superficial and there's not any love connection, that's all it is to me. But maybe I don't know. I'm old school.
Well, you never know. We're going to talk about it today, and we're going to see what's going on. Mama, you hang on the line. This is Rodney Perry. You tune in. You know you can see me, Mama. I'm on Ustream right now, too. You see me?
I'm trying to find it. Where is it? Under RodneyPerry.com.
Go to my website, RodneyPerry.com. You can see me. We completely live. Boy, everybody calling in today. Hold on, Mama. Hang on. Hey, I got to take this call. Hey, Rodney Perry, you on the line live. Is this my brother?
You talking to me?
You goddamn right. You're the only brother that's on the run.
What's going on, man?
Hey, y'all, this is the great Ryan Evans, currently traveling, gallivanting across the country, doing his thing on the comedy stage. What's going on, Ryan?
Nothing much. You know, this is a wonderful day when you get to hear the word gallivanting. Yeah, still a conversation. I like how you do things, Rodney Perry. You get things done.
Well, you know, I'm trying my best. Hey Ryan, we got two greats coming on the show today. We got Cinnamon Love coming on, a true porno star, you know. Now, I know generally Mommy is my go-to when I'm doing my co-host, but I think you're going to be my go-to guy today.
I'd like to be involved. I'm glad I called in on such a prestigious occasion. I'm glad I'm here.
Now, I got Cinnamon Love, and I also got Sexy India that's going to be calling in a little later. Again, bona fide porno stars. You understand?
Stars, I like that.
Russ, You understand me? Now, with that, man, before I get into the show, I got to shout out what we got going on. Of course, the Never Deny Improv Workshop is going down at the Green Room. That's every Wednesday at 2 p.m. It's an incredible afternoon of work, and you can go to my website, click on my tour dates, and you can register for the class right there on the website. And then we signed up for the Tom Joyner Family Reunion August 30th through September 3rd, and that is Orlando, Florida. Orlando, Florida. I'll be in Orlando, Florida, then Chattanooga, Tennessee, at the Mocha Restaurant and Lounge, September 7th and 8th. And then November 9th, Laughing Down the Aisle. That's November 9th, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And then Ryan Evans, Johnny Vans, and myself will be in Cincinnati, Ohio, at the Levy Funny Bone, November 23rd through the 25th. And then we got a bunch of other dates. Y'all check the site. A lot of crazy stuff is going on. Hey, y'all, when we come back, I got my first guest on the line. She's got her own radio show. She's an author. She's an advocate for safe sex. She's doing it in the industry. When I come back, Ryan, you ain't ready for this. Ryan, you ready?
I'm trying to let it build.
So let me get you a reggae horn. Play goddamn horn. Anyway. Ryan, when we come back.
There you go.
Thank you, baby. When we come back, oh, to my girl, Miss Cinnamon Love. Hey, y'all, this is Rodney Perry. You're tuned in to Rodney Perry Live.
What's up, everybody around the world? Thanks for tuning in to Rodney Perry Live. Remember to follow Rodney on Twitter at Rodney Perry. And for all of your Rodney Perry updates, text Rodney Perry with no spaces to 41411. Again, to stay up to date, text Rodney Perry with no spaces to 41411.
Hey, y'all, it's Rodney Perry. You're tuning in to Rodney Perry Live. Let me get my first guest on the line. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I ain't never been this excited and dressed at the same time. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Brooklyn's own TV personality, Playboy TV personality, radio personality. You may have seen on HBO where she did a thing with the Pooh Nanny Poets. You may hear her on Sirius Satellite where she pop in on Shade 4 or 5 from time to time. Ladies and gentlemen, if you like pornography, if you ever been naked, if you love to love people, then you gotta love Cinnamon Love. Cinnamon, what's going on?
Ah, that was really sweet. That was a really sweet introduction. I might have to take you on the road with me sometimes.
Hey, I'm down like four flat tires now. Now, you are, I mean, you know, we can't talk to Cinnamon Love without talking about sex.
Right.
And you know what? In my research, looking you up, because I don't want to ask you the typical questions, you know, but what I really impressed me or was interesting to me is that I was watching your show, that's DTFradio.com, every Thursday night, midnight to 2 a.m. I was checking out your show, and you spoke about being a daddy's girl.
Oh, most definitely.
Talk to me about Cinnamon Love, the daddy's girl.
Oh, my gosh. I am definitely a daddy's girl, like, for real. My dad was, amazing. Actually, you know, for the people that didn't tune in on the show last week, I talked about, I was lucky enough to have both my dad, my biological father and my stepfather, you know, raise me. So, I had two dads, and I was really spoiled growing up, spoiled, but at the same time, like, you know, I was instilled with a really good work ethic, and I was given a lot of opportunities a lot of other people that I knew didn't have. My dad was, you know, before I was allowed to date, I had to learn how to change a flat tire in a pair of high heels, and I had to learn how to check a spark plug so that no boys would be, like, pulling the plug on the spark plug and have me stranded on a dirt road talking about the car wouldn't start. When I was, like, 14, my dad took me to take my first flight lessons so that, you know, I wouldn't be impressed with, like, just, like, you know, I wouldn't be easily impressed. Like, we used to do daddy-daughter dates all the time so that I would, you know, we could go out to restaurants and just different things so that I would have a better idea of what it means to be catered to and the types of things that I could attain for myself as well, so that some guy couldn't just come in and, you know, take me to the movies and buy me McDonald's and get laid. And I come from a big family. I have a lot of sisters, and you know, my dad was married several times, and so I have 8 sisters, and we all are daddy's girls. And, you know, right down to, you know, my dad passed away like five years ago from lung cancer, and it's like, I'm such a daddy's girl that, like, my sisters and I, we used to, like, you know, we took turns, like, laying in bed with our dad and, like, you know, when he was sick. And because that's how close we were with our father. Like, he was a really good person and, you know, spoiled us rotten and treated us good. And
right.
All that good stuff. But, yeah.
So now, you know, that brings me to the obvious next question. Son of in love, adult film star, fetish model, professional dominatrix,
yes,
writer, radio personality, single mom, 3 teenagers. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you even get into the adult industry?
I started in the business when I was in college. I did my first 2 years of undergrad at Santa Monica College. I was going through a divorce. I graduated from high school really early. Like, I started, I graduated from school when I was 16, and I took 8 months and followed the Grateful Dead up and down the coast of California. And then I got married. And, you know, I was a hippie chick, and I got married to this guy, and he was, like, twice my age. So by the time I was 19, I had 2 toddlers. They were 6 months and a year and a half, and I was 19, and I was in college, and I wanted to finish school. And I found out very quickly, you know, for anybody that's gone through a divorce, you know, with kids, it can be very, it can be a daunting undertaking. And in California, it was like I couldn't take my kids out of the state of California.
California is not a game.
No, it's not a game. They basically, literally, like, during the course of our divorce, my ex-husband filed a restraining order refusing to let me take my kids back to Michigan where I grew up, so that I could be with my family and I could finish school and I could have help with my kids. And so I was stranded, literally stranded in California with 2 kids and, you know, 2 mall jobs making $8 an hour and carrying 13 units in school. And I was spending 4 hours a day with my kids. The daycare and sitter were alternating between, you know, taking care of them. And, you know, I found that welfare was not going to give me enough money. Like, I had a $775 a month rent-controlled 2-bedroom apartment in Santa Monica, and welfare was like, you're going to have to move because we're only going to give you $400 and some odd, and your rent has to be, like, less than, you know, 60% or 70% of that or whatever. And for me, like, I grew up, I mean, my stepdad and my dad both worked for General Motors. My mom works for the city, and she's a Methodist minister. And, you know, I mean, I grew up in a home and, you know, with... I'm a preacher's kid. But, you know, I grew up in a home with a family that worked. And, you know, the idea of going on welfare just didn't appeal to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know that that works for some people. And, you know, had I been home in Michigan, I probably would have, you know, with my kids and had people that could help me. And, you know, I probably would not have ever gotten into the business. But I wasn't. I was in California, and I really didn't have a lot of assistance. So instead of, you know, for me, I was like, you're going to give me $400 a month and I'm supposed to pay rent with that? Where am I going to live with 2 kids? Like, I'm supposed to live in the projects? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and not to say, like, and there's nothing wrong. There's, you know, people that do it and that works for them. But for me, it didn't work. And, you know, I started looking for extra jobs. And, you know, I was an extra on a couple of mainstream movies. And, you know, I thought, you know, oh, maybe I can be, like, an artist model because, you know, I'm a hippie. So I was like, you know, oh, I can go pose for some artist class and make extra money. And
you had to be already pretty comfortable with your body and who you were sexually anyway.
Right, exactly. I mean, I was never really, you know, I mean, I was an early bloomer. I grew up in Michigan where there's nothing to do. I mean, you're in the South, you know. It's like in Michigan in the wintertime, all you do is fuck. Like, that's, you know,
right, that's it.
That's what you do. Like, you know, and my grandparents had a farm. My father's parents had a farm, and all of us 13 grandkids would be out there in the summer. And, you know, and when you hit puberty, you know, you stop playing football with the boys and you stop climbing trees and you stop, you know, like, you know, fishing in the lake and you start having sex. So I would say, and that's just the reality of growing up.
Give me this sentiment.
What?
You're a daddy's girl. What's the conversation with the family, or do you have that conversation at some point? Like, when do you let your family know, like, hey, this is what I'm doing now?
I let my family know right away. I told my family probably 3 months into my being into the industry, and that was only because I knew that my dad had magazines. I knew that he got magazine subscriptions. My stepdad had magazine subscriptions, and I shot for Hustler magazine. And I didn't want him to have a magazine show up at the house, and I was in it, and he didn't know.
Right.
And I knew that my parents had, you know, I knew that my dad had, you know, my stepdad and my dad both, they had, you know, this was back when, before you could really block the channels on your, you know, on your cable.
Right.
You know, back when we had the big giant big screens that were like 200 pounds.
Exactly.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I knew my parents had, you know, the erotic channels on TV, and I didn't want anyone to accidentally come across it. And my parents always told me that there should be nothing in life that you ever do that you're so ashamed of that you can't tell us. Because if you can't tell us, then there's no reason for you to be doing it in the first place. So I told my parents right away, because for me, it wasn't a mission. It wasn't about, it wasn't something that I was ashamed of. I was doing it to support my family so that I could finish school. And my parents, you know, my mom was obviously upset, and she was, you know, she cried because, you know, you don't think about your kid becoming a porn star. But, you know, and my stepdad was like, you know, and my stepdad's been my stepdad since I was 8. So he's my dad, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he was like, look, I mean, and he was, you know, he was a raconteur and an MP when he was growing, you know, he did all kinds of stuff when he was in his 20s and his, you know, teens. And, you know, he got it, and he said, you know, and I came out as being bisexual at the same time as I told him I was doing porn, because I felt like, I was like, well, they might as well know that I had sex with this girl on camera while I'm telling them, let me just tell them everything.
You hit him with everything but the kitchen sink in one day.
I did, but I needed to do that because I didn't want them to be surprised, and I didn't want someone else to tell them what I was doing, because if they got it secondhand, you know, I'm 38, and you know, I'm sure you remember playing the game telephone when you were a kid, and it's like by the time the message gets to somebody from somebody else, the whole mission has been changed, the whole conversation has changed. So for me, it was an issue of, let me make sure that they get it from me so that they have the facts, so that they're not surprised when somebody else tells them, and nobody else can tell them something they don't already know. And I feel that way about everything, you know, even with my kids. Like, I'm like, let me give you the information direct from me so that nobody can tell you something that you don't know. And so, you know, as I told him at the same time, my stepdad was just kind of like, he asked me a bunch of questions. He asked me if I was doing drugs. He asked me if there was some guy that was making me do it. He asked me, you know, they wanted to make sure that I was okay. And
you made this choice independent of any exterior pressure.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and I explained to them that this was a financial decision on my part, because if I didn't, I was going to have to drop out of school, and, you know, welfare was not going to give me enough money to take care of me and my kids, and that this was a conscious decision that I was making. And he gave me the best advice I had ever gotten, and he said, well, I just want you to remember, I want you to save your money, treat this like a business, and remember that you're not going to be able to make money with your body for the rest of your life.
Wow.
And that was the best piece of advice that I could have possibly have gotten from anyone in or outside of the business, because during that process, throughout my career, and I've been in the business for 19 years now, and I've gone through several evolutions in my career, but I constantly was able to remember that, you know, there always has to be something else that's going on. Like, I have to constantly, you know, create new businesses and constantly, you know, change how, you know, what I'm doing, how I'm doing, evolve so that I can stay in the business and continue to make my mark and continue to earn a living. Because most women in this industry, you know, regardless, not just porn, but sex work in general, they don't have, you know, there's such a high turnover rate. Women, they burn out, they get involved with drugs, they get involved with guys, they lose all their money, they do, you know, there's
not a lot of success stories, I would imagine.
No, these days it's a little different. I mean, when I started in 1993, it was, you know, the turnover rate wasn't as fast because there weren't as many women in the industry. these days, women are staying in the industry. You get some that stay in the industry a lot longer. You get a lot more that the turnover rate is still high for a lot of women, for most women. But, you know, most of the women that get into it, they're into it for the fast money, and they don't really, you know, it's much like athletes and rappers.
Okay.
When you take somebody from, you know, less than ideal circumstances, or someone that has no money and no education, or little money and little education, and you hand them a shitload of money at 18, 19 years old, and they don't know the first thing about filing their taxes, and they don't know the first thing about hiring a financial advisor, and they don't have the right people in their corner, they will go through all their money.
Wait a minute, you got to pay taxes to have sex?
Absolutely.
God dang it. Okay, Cinnamon. This is Rodney Perry. You're tuning in to Rodney Perry Live. We're on the line with Miss Cinnamon Love. Cinnamon Love, I want to say your whole name right. 250 hardcore films. What's the difference between film number one, and I'm talking about you in film number one versus you in film number 225? How different were you?
Definitely different. I saw a movie that I did in, like, the very first girl-girl scene I did. And I had always been bisexual, or bi-curious, rather. You know, my first kisses were with girls. I think a girl went down on me when I was in high school, but I had never reciprocated, and I didn't really have a lot of experience with women. And when I saw... like, a couple of years ago, I saw the very first movie that I ever shot with a girl. Her name was Vanessa Chase, and I did not know what I was doing. I was so scared to stick a dildo inside her because I didn't want to hurt her, and I didn't know what I was doing. But the big difference is just the experience and the comfort level, and, you know, and you start to learn a lot more about, you know, what makes you look good on camera, how you look good in, you learn a lot about yourself and your body, and, you know, what types of things you can wear, or how to do your makeup and how to do your hair, and you learn a lot. And a lot of it doesn't have to do with the number of movies that I've done. It has to do with age. It has to do with age. You know, it's like at 38, I'm a completely different woman than I was at 19. You know, I'm more comfortable with my body. I'm more comfortable with my sexuality. I'm more confident. And I think that shows on film. Whereas at 19, I was just a 19-year-old girl that was just having sex.
It's still the business of young people, though, am I right?
No, not anymore. In the last, like, 5 to 8 years, we've seen a lot more women getting into the business in their 30s and 40s. You know, the American Pie phenomena of the MILF has made it to where women are getting into the business later in life and having a highly successful career. MILFs and cougars as a genre is extremely profitable. And, you know, and we're also seeing a lot of former stars, like big name stars from the 90s, white and black, that are coming, that may have taken like a, you know, 10-year hiatus, that are coming back into the industry now, primarily because the money is so much better than it was back in the early 90s. And
I'm
also
sure.
Because the industry's grown. You know, when you have, you know,
hold on, Cinnamon Love. Now, is there still the opportunity to make the money? I would imagine that with the internet and people consuming so much free pornography, that would put a cripple on the industry, like the record industry. But that's not true.
Yes. No, it absolutely has. The adult industry, and it's not just the adult industry, but the adult industry and the film, the mainstream film and TV industry, both kind of delayed in attacking end users for when it came down to piracy. And we're starting to see on both sides of the fence, companies, you know, film companies, TV, you know, film companies, TV companies, you know, and porn companies all, like, suing end users. Like Mega Upload, when they were taken down a few, you know, last year, because they were one of the biggest purveyors of piracy when it came down to porn. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of that is starting to change. The industry did not, you know, much like the music industry with Napster in the 90s, the porn industry thought that they were invincible. And we're starting to see now, it's very difficult for the business to recover. People are definitely affected. Their bottom lines are affected. People are not making as much money as they used to. The money is still there. But the big difference is that with the internet, stars, men and women, are now able to diversify their income a lot better. There are phone sex sites like Verified Call and a My Free Phone site and Night Flirt, where stars can go on, you know, can set up profiles and they get a phone number and fans can call them on a pay per minute basis. But whereas in the 90s, you know, phone sex was, you know, with anonymous women who you didn't know what they looked like, now you can actually talk to porn stars that you know, and the money goes direct to your bank account. There's no, you know, the only
middleman.
Yeah, I mean, well, you still have the middleman of the company, the site that you're on, to, you know, as a credit card processor, and they still take a percentage, but it's passive income that you don't necessarily have to, you know, go on film for. And then we're also seeing a lot more porn stars doing webcam. It used to be that, like, phone sex operators and webcam models were totally separate from porn stars. Now, porn stars can offer live webcam. They can, you know, I can book a scene with, let's say, a really famous white star that I might not get booked into in a movie with, but we can decide to have sex together on my webcam or her webcam, and we can make money directly, you know, and that the consumers become, you know, they can pay us directly. You know what I mean? It's a whole different market.
You brought up an interesting thing. What's it like being a black woman, and is there racism?
There's absolutely racism. I mean, racism, you know, it's no different. You know, the porn industry is just a smaller, you know, it's a microcosm of the rest of the universe, you know, the rest of the world. So, of course, there's racism, just like there's drugs and there's everything else.
Right.
But, you know, it's all about how you, for me, it's about perspective. And, you know, there are companies that I've refused to work for because their product is very racist. You know, I'm not interested in doing a blow bang, which is a girl is giving blowjobs to like five or six guys. I'm not interested in doing that with a bunch of white guys that are wearing Confederate flags.
Right. Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not interested in shooting a movie with, you know, shooting a scene for a company that, you know, referred to one black woman's boobs as, if you cut Rerun's stomach off and stuck them on her chest, those would be her tits.
Wow.
You know, it's the passive aggressive racism that exists on some companies' websites for sure, or some companies' movies for sure. You know, I have a choice, as you know, as a woman and as a performer, to either work with them or not. Do you know what I mean? It's like I don't have to shoot with somebody. Like, and part of it is the fact that I am older and I have been in the business longer and I can call my own shots and I don't have an agent that's pushing me to shoot scenes in order to just, you know, just to make a check. And I think, unfortunately, you know, because there are a lot of younger women that get into the business, they get caught up in stuff like that because they don't realize that they can say no. And
what's the pressure for you to stay fit, like to stay in shape? Is that your own personal pressure, or does the industry pressure you that way? And is that the same for black women as it is for non-black women?
It's definitely not the same for black women. I mean, there is a big marketplace these days for women that are BBWs. And there was a time when I gained a lot of weight, and I was a little bit heavier, and everyone loved the fact that I had gained weight and my ass was bigger and my hips were bigger and my butt, you know, my boobs were bigger. And a lot of companies liked that. And there were companies that wouldn't have shot me before that wanted to shoot me because I was a bigger girl. And, you know, but I, for myself personally, I didn't like the way that I looked. And when I got to, you know, when I was a little bit bigger, when I was like 10 or 15 pounds bigger, it was one thing. When I was like 30 pounds bigger, I was like, I don't want to shoot right now. You know what I mean? It's like I'm just not comfortable with shooting. I don't want to put myself out there. So it's, you know, but the industry, there's definitely, I mean, these days there are a lot of individual niche markets that didn't exist in 93, 95, 97, or even 2000 because the industry has changed. And the industry now markets a lot better to individual niche markets. You know, they've come to, the directors and producers and distributors have realized that there is a marketplace for everybody. So if you like midgets wearing purple nail polish, they will shoot midgets with purple nail polish so that they can get your money. Unfortunately,
hey, this is Rodney Perry. You're tuned in to Rodney Perry Live. We're talking to Cinnamon Love. Oh my God, Now, we talked about fitness. We talked about the business. Now, I did a run on my Twitter page called Ask a Porn Star. So it was some people that hit me up and asked some questions. I'm going to shoot them out to you. Give me your quick answer, all right?
Okay.
Okay. Was your interview for the job hands-on?
No. There has been, it's funny, there is a casting couch in porn, just like there's a casting couch in mainstream. But for me, I was always like, I am not sucking dick to get a job sucking dick. Like, that does not make sense to me. The job is sucking dick. Like, why do I have to blow the director to get a job? And to me, and there, it's unfortunate that there are a lot of people that fall for that, or girls that think that if they're, you know, fucking the director, that they're going to get work. But directors only have X number of movies that they're going to shoot every month.
Right.
So they can only use a girl. They can't use a girl in every single movie that they put out. So it doesn't do them any good to blow the director or bang the director just so that they could, you know, try to get a scene.
Are your moms overdubbed?
Am I what?
Are your sounds, your gas, your sex noises, are they overdubbed or is it really you?
No, it's really me. Really me, definitely.
You can, look, everybody, I'm looking, I got my I don't believe you face on, Cinnamon. You telling me it's always you?
Yeah, it's always me. Always.
Now, is that something you had to fight for or is that just what it is?
No, that's just what it is. I mean, you know, porn is, you know, the way that we shoot, it's not as sophisticated as people would like to believe. Even on the biggest budget sets, they're not, you know, you're not going into editing and taking out the sound and popping it back in. I mean, you know, there's a little bit of that when it comes down to editing the scenes if you're editing multiple camera shots and stuff. But it's all the same. You know, you have a boom mic there, and they're recording your audio at the same time while they're recording your video.
Right. All right. Last question, and I think I know the answer to this. How safe is it, really, for the actors and actresses in the industry right now?
Are you talking about HIV and STDs?
Yes.
Okay. This is not a short answer.
You don't have any short answers. Cinnamon love.
I know. It's kind of difficult. It is safe. It is safe. It's not the safest.
Mm-hmm.
It is safe. Since I've been in the business, and like I said, I've been in for 19 years, there have only been 7 individual instances of people contracting HIV.
Wow.
In the 19 years that I've been in the industry. The first
I mean, you know, we send our prayers out to those families that lost people, but
yes.
that's a great number for 19 years.
Yes, and no one has died. Everyone, not in the straight business, in the straight side of the industry, there have been 7 cases. There's only been 2 cases where other people contracted the virus from patient zero.
Hmm.
The last 2 cases of people that contracted HIV, both got it from outside of the business. You will hear stories on the news about people that got it. The last page, the last two, the one was a woman, one was a man. The man did both gay and straight porn. The woman was a swinger in her personal life. Neither her boyfriend nor any of her sexual partners in the business contracted the virus from her. The guy, none of his sexual partners in the business or outside of the business that he reported got it from him either. So the industry has had in the past safeguards in place in terms of notification for the industry, and you know, in case someone tests positive for HIV,
right?
And that way they could, you know, quarantine the patient zero, retest him or her and all of their partners going like 3 tiers. That way no one, it doesn't spread, you know, within the industry. And it's a voluntary quarantine. It's not something that's been, like, you know, mandated by law or anything like that. But there's been some changes. There's an organization that's been really pushing for mandatory condom use in the business. Unfortunately, what's going to happen with that, and this actually goes up for ballot in Los Angeles in November. So people should really know about this. There's a condom law, like mandatory condom law for porn, that's coming up.
On your site, you support a black condom company.
I do. I support a black condom company. It's a minority-owned condom company out of New York that actually gives back a big percentage of their proceeds to HIV and STD testing in the community, as well as sex education in the community as well. So, and I also work with a company out of Dallas called TKNO that does a mobile HIV testing service as well for people in privacy in their homes. But people should really know that they should look into this new law that's coming up to vote in LA, because what's happening is, like, if you are a married couple that's monogamous and you have sex on film, even if it's in your house using your webcam and you're not having sex with anyone else, the new law is going to state that you have to use a condom. They are, in order to do that on camera. So,
well, that's going to mess up me and the wife, Paige. Hey, y'all, this is Rodney Perry.
Right.
You're tuned in to Rodney Perry Live. We are getting it in. We're talking to Miss Cinnamon Love. Cinnamon, I got to thank you so much for coming on today. Your show, Sex, Love, and Hip Hop, is off the chain, DTFRradio.com. You're at Cinnamon Love. That's at Cinnamon Love on Twitter. And and the Facebook page is Sex, Love, and Hip Hop. Anything you want to leave my audience with before you get out?
I want people to just have fun, be safe, have great sex, and love the one you're with. That's it.
Get it. Thank you so much for coming on today, love.
Thank you.
Cinnamon Love! Hey, y'all, this is Rodney Perry. You're tuned in to Rodney Perry Live. When we come back, y'all is not ready. Sexy India is on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about to be crazy. I hope y'all ready for this. This is Rodney Perry. You're tuned in to Rodney Perry Live. What else you want to do, baby? It's going in right now, right here. Y'all don't want to miss it. Stay right there.
What's up, world? Thanks for tuning in to Rodney Perry Live. Don't forget to follow Rodney on Twitter, at Rodney Perry. And for all your Rodney Perry updates, text Rodney Perry with no spaces to 41411. That's Rodney Perry. Mash that thing together and text it to 41411. Now, back to the show.
It's Rodney Perry.
Hey, Ryan Evans, man, we just got off the phone with Miss Cinnamon Love. Man, what you think of that interview, dog?
That was deep. I learned a lot about the porn industry. She was very smart. She knows about money. I'm
gonna need you to put your clothes back on while we're talking to Sexy India,
though. I'm gonna keep my shirt on just in case. You never know.
Now, Ryan, what's your type of porn? I know mommy is listening, but you know she grown. She know what we do.
I like good wholesome porn. No, I'm mean, I don't really have a preference. I really don't. I'm all over the place. You know, I got a couple sites I tend to go to. They know me well, and
they know you well. That's hilarious. Hey, before I bring this lady on, I got to do this, Ryan, because not only is she a bona fide star, and I told y'all, I think they use the actual word porn star too loosely. There's a lot of people did one movie and they call themselves a star. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I'm talking about when I first saw India, she was on a video game and I was trying to play poker to get her undressed, and now she's a bona fide superstar. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a song I'm about to play for y'all right now. It's called Dream Girl, and it's by my girl, Sexy India.
You say you've been a fan for a long time. Do you like my movies? Well, this is your dream. So what you wanna do? We have a new home. It's a I'm
your personal dream girl from DollhouseRadio.com. She's doing it right here on Blog Talk on her own show, and she honors me today by popping in here and hollering at us. Without any further ado, show some love for Miss Sexy India.
Hey.
What's up, sis?
Hey, how are you?
I'm so excited to have you on. I am a huge fan, and I tell you, that little poker game, I spent about $9 million trying to get you undressed and lost every time.
Right, trying to get my top off.
How did you get that deal? What was that like?
That was something that just happened for me. You know, one of my other friends, she had the same thing going for her, and I was there, and it was like, oh, India. So, you know, I was in the right place at the right time, I guess. So, that was a good thing.
Let's go back. I wanted to play some of your music because I just think it's dope. Now, we listened to one of your songs, and I got another one of your songs I'm going to play a little later. But
okay.
You started back in the day before any
yes.
of this adult industry.
Yes.
You were in a group, Harmony Innocence?
Right. I've been in music since I was a little girl. Like, I always, you know, back in the days you have singing groups with your friends, but we actually wanted to be signed. We wanted to be in a music industry, and when I was 16, 17, we got signed. We got picked up. I was signed by Russ Regan, and if anybody knows who he is, he's someone very big in the industry, and he signed
us. That's big time.
Right. And, you know, it was great. You know, I was basically young. I didn't know anything about the music industry, but I was just really excited to be in it. So this is way before porn, so yes.
Yeah, let me tell you what I got. That's what I like.
Wow, Rodney.
Sexy India, I'm doing my research.
You did your research. Woo!
Take me back to first of all, putting this song on wax. The name of the group is Harmony Innocence. You can go on iTunes right now. That's what I did. I bought this. I own... This song is called That's What I Like. Is that you singing lead?
Actually, we're all on the verse. We all sung lead on the verse. That's Don singing the ad-libs in the beginning. So,
okay.
But on the verse, we're all singing on the verse. So, yeah.
Get it. I love it.
Yes.
Hey, y'all, this is Roddy Perry. You're tuned in to Roddy Perry Live. I am talking to Sexy India. That's India Morrell. Lovely
yes.
India Morrell. And, man, again, talk to me about the adult film industry. How did you get in?
How did I get in? If you would have told me a long time ago, Roddy, years ago, like maybe 13 years ago, that I was going to become a porn star or even into the porn industry, I would have probably cussed you out, okay?
Right.
So, you know, that definitely coming from music and doing other stuff, porn was not on my agenda at all. I even went to college, you know, I went to school. Even being in music still, I still attended school. So, you know, porn was not in my realm at all. I didn't want to do it. And for some reason, like, you know, when we ended the Harmony Innocent group, you know, I had a bad experience. Like I said, I started early, and I didn't know nothing about music, contracts and all that stuff. And I had a bad experience. So, you know, I still wanted to be within the entertainment industry. And someone approached me on Venice Beach in Los Angeles, and they asked me, you know, they was talking about the industry and that they can get me in and you can make a lot of money and this and that. And I was like, yeah, right, whatever. But I took his card because I said, you know what, I might have some people that I might could push away. And we kind of went back and forth and talked for like 6 months. And finally, one day, I actually went on set with him. And I saw the industry, like, I thought it was all ghetto and messed up and unorganized. Like, the set, like, everything was organized. People were nice. It was, you know, professional. So I was like, wait a minute, hold up. So that's what kind of happened with me. It just happened. Like, I didn't plan to go into the porn industry at all. Like, it wasn't a plan for me. So.
Now you're a lovely lady, dark skin.
Yes, yes.
Slim.
Yes.
Slim physique. has that played in your favor or played against
right.
you
right.
as you make your way through this life?
I think when I came in 98 and I was in industry after that for 11 years, I think it played in my favor because a lot of the fans, to me, a lot of the people who buy porn are a lot of white guys. It's a lot of white guys. So a lot of white guys definitely like girls my size. But then even the black guys who like girls like me, you know, they're the ones who buy the $49.99, you know, DVDs at the time. So I think it played in my favor. Because, you know, they like my petite shape. So
right.
it was good for me. Maybe not now because you have a lot of BBWs and other stuff like that that's coming to play, which is okay because
what
I think it should
that,
be
what
fun.
Is a BBW? Big.
BBW is big, beautiful. Don't be acting like you don't know. It's big, beautiful, and wait, what is it? Big, beautiful, and wonderful. I don't know. Hell.
That's
I'm
what I mean.
BBW,
I don't know
so
what
don't
the
know.
W is. I'm like, what the fuck is the W?
What is a W? Maybe you should have asked Cinnamon that, because I don't know what the W means. I don't know what it means.
Yeah, I
got to
Google the
know.
W. Okay,
right,
so.
Right, Google the W. We're going to find out.
Going to find out.
Right.
Adeline, find out what the W means. That's my assistant,
right.
Madeline Smith. She's on the line. She's helping us out.
Okay.
So you have the chance meeting on Venice Beach. You get
right.
into the game. And.
Yes.
Now you tell me if this is true or not. As I watch you in your work,
yes.
it seems like you had rules. Like I would notice that guys that would perform with you would always have condoms on. Is that a rule
yes.
of yours personally?
Hmm. No, you know what? I would work with guys without condoms, but you're very right. I was very picky with who I worked with. If you notice, I worked with Mark Anthony, Mr. Marcus, Alexis and Steele. A lot of the same guys, at one point people thought Marcus was my boyfriend or Mark Anthony because I will always pick the same guys. It's a lot of guys out there that I've never worked with because I'm very picky. Like if I see that you're a little too loose in your personal life, like for real on set, like we can't get down because, you know, I got to make sure that, you know what I'm saying? One, I'm healthy for my personal life. Like when I go home, I'm still in good health. Like, you know, I can't just work with anybody that's nasty and just running around the whole industry because, you know, sometimes you don't know what people do after work. So that's what concerned me, you
wow.
know, what you do after work. So, yes, my list of who I don't work with was very long, like who I don't work with. My list of who I do work with was very short. So I worked with the same guys. So, you know, and if you were new, I would do a condom because it was, you know, somebody I didn't know. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So wow, that's really interesting because I never really considered that you kind of have a choice over who you do scenes with.
Right. Oh yes. They. I mean, some girls tell me that they're put with certain guys. Like, oh, I have to work with. I'm like, you have to work with somebody. You don't have to work with nobody. Like me, I think that it just depends on the girl. Like if you go in there and say, look, I'm not working. This is who I work with. Let me see. Before I even go on the set, I would ask a list of who's available, like who's going to be your cast of guys. And because sometimes they will put you with people, but I will just say, no, let me see who else you got, because I don't work with that person, you know. But sometimes they will, like, put you with somebody, but girls who probably don't say nothing, then they're just stuck with somebody. But I never get stuck with anybody I don't want to work with, so. Because I'm going to tell you right away, look, it ain't happening. If you want a good scene, you better put me with somebody I like. So
does
that's
have to be some sort of chemistry there?
It
or
has to be, yes.
Are you just professional
yes.
and you just like, we're going to make
no.
it work?
Fuck, can I cuss?
Yeah, cuss it.
Wait, I don't want to see. No, because your mom is listening. No, I have respect. No. Uh-uh. I'm not
cussing.
Hold
on, let me put off. Mama, India being
phone.
Respectful.
Yes, I'm not going to. I was raised right. I can't do that. Hi, Mama.
Hey, baby, let me tell you, Rodney is a trip. He crazy. Was listening to show at age 13, ran my phone bill up to $30, him and his friends.
Oh, my God, Rodney.
Hey, enough of that. Bye, Mama. I'll tell y'all this quick story. So back in the day, before
yes.
the 800 numbers, you would call the New York number, the phone sex.
Yeah,
212. But I didn't even know what an area code was. This is how stupid I was. And I was calling 212, and they would be, hello, hi. It was recorded.
Oh,
but you would get excited. I was so excited. And I got
right.
that phone bill. My mama got that phone bill in. Boy.
Woo!
Let
$268. Right.
let me have it. But yeah, so India, man, the lines is going crazy. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
The lines is going crazy. You mind taking a couple calls?
I sure don't.
Damien, you're on the line with Sexy India. You got a question about porn companies. What is that?
Okay.
Well, the question I got is, I've bought over $17,000 worth of film equipment. My wife is an actress, and she's trying to break into the industry.
Okay.
She's done, like, one scene, and I want to know, how do I go about booking legitimate talent? Because the whole thing that I want to establish is legitimacy. So I want to hire, like, established actresses and actors to work
right.
with my wife.
Okay. Okay. That is going to be a little, some girls are very, like, funny working with companies that are not really established yet. It just depends on who you're going after. But sometimes, you know, you kind of want to go after the companies that you know have done more films. Like, if you guys haven't done anything yet, it's going to be kind of hard to get established people. That's just my opinion.
Mm.
So you might want to do some more work so people can see it and see what you guys do. And then you can go after more of the bigger names.
All right,
like
I hope that answers your question, Dane.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, so
yeah, like,
hey, you know, it's a couple of actors, you know, they doing plays and stuff. They might come, regular mainstream actors might come.
Hey, listen, at the end of the day, it's all about money, you know what I mean? Like, as long
right.
as all of the drug and disease free, like, at the end of the day, it's like,
right.
money is
well,
money.
If you're paying a rate, I'm just talking from my experience and myself. Like, me, I would be like, I wouldn't do it. It wouldn't matter if you paid me my rate. It's just because I don't know who your company is. That's my opinion. But if you're right, you might get such and such, you know, to do it because you got the right money. So, hey,
right.
I would just go after them. Go find their Twitter. Get their emails. Email them. Why not try, you know? So,
yeah, hey, don't nothing be the failure, but a try. Andrea,
right.
you
That's
got a
right.
question for Sexy India. You on the line, Andrea.
Yeah. Hey, Rodney. You know I'm in class with you. What's up?
What's up, girl?
You know I'm nuts. I wanted to ask, right? So, like,
okay.
say you're trying to do it in the butthole, right? How do you
get
that
doing anal.
Real
we call
real?
It anal.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, anal, not the butthole. Question, Andrea.
Okay. I wanted to know, like, how do you start the anal? Like, you know, start the process
okay.
and there won't be, like, ripping of the
ripping
anal.
You up. Have you tried it before?
No.
Okay. What I would suggest, because I love anal. Mama, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. I'm going to go to hell. Oh, my God.
No,
okay.
Not.
Okay, cover your ears, Mama. Okay. So what I would do is I would suggest to go get you a toy, a nice-sized little toy, and start off by yourself. Get some lube and relax. Get on your back and just, like, push it in a little bit. Maybe if you, you know, loosen up a little bit, you have to relax. Just that's the key word. Make sure you don't eat no cheeseburger, no pizza, and all that stuff, because, girl, that's crazy. Okay? So make sure you clean. Yeah, it's going to all come out. Make sure you clean, and you just get that toy, and you get on your back, relax, breathe, and just, you know, play with yourself and get comfortable with yourself first. And then once you get somebody that you want to experience it with, I would say do a position that you're in control, you know? Like, I will only do positions I'm in control of. So he's not just, you know, taking advantage and doing his thing. So you are... Right,
right.
Right.
So, but how would you do that? Like, what is a comfortable position to get in?
A comfortable position for me, it's like on your side. Like, say, the spoon position, and you control it. So you control
right.
it. You can put your hand right there in the back by his stomach, you
right.
know, when you're stopping him, and you yeah. let him go as far as you want him to go, you know?
Okay.
So... That's what I would do. That's what my advice. Let me know how it goes.
Oh,
yeah.
I will.
Okay. That's Dollhouse Radio. You can holler at India personally if you'd like to. Wait, good call, Andrew, and I hope your booty hole is happy.
Oh, eventually it will be, I guess, you know.
Right.
I'll see you in class on Wednesday. I was just asking to be asked.
I love. Hey, India, now.
Yes.
Now, you tell me what your thought is on this, because...
Okay.
I'm old school when it come to anal and all that. I'm like, to me, if a dude is always trying to get anal, that's telling me that he might
mm-hmm.
like anal with other people
right.
and women.
Okay.
So is that true?
No, not necessarily. It's just a guy who likes anal sex. And it's a lot of guys out there, and I feel like as long as he's doing it with a woman, he's not really wanting a guy because he can be doing it with a guy. So if he wants anal sex... That's okay. Long as it's not like, okay, I choose it over I don't want to say for STEM. Okay, Rodney, you know, as long as he's not choosing it over the other thing, you know, like
the
he likes it more. Right,
yeah.
Vagina. So,
well
you know.
Said. Hey, James, right. You got a question for Miss India. You on?
Oh, yeah, basically, man, I don't have a question. I have a comment.
Okay.
You know, all the adult stars out there, I went to school with Jay Cannon, if you're all familiar with him. But anyway, my whole thing is I want people to understand that adult film stars are not what they used to be. They're advanced
right.
and they're very intelligent. They're business
right.
women.
Yes.
You know, because that's the whole stickler about exotic dancers. You notice I didn't use the word porn star and I didn't
yeah.
use the word stripper. Because things have advanced. All people need to understand is when you hit their Twitter, don't be saying, how much is it to do this? How much is it to do that? They're human beings at the end of the day. They have families. They're human beings just
right.
like you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A shout out to you. I love your music. I've been a fan of yours. And a lot of people
thank
don't know you.
You
was in the H to the Izzo music video. I want to put that out there.
Right.
She's a real
thank
hip-hop you. Head. Here I am sending me love. Respect that, man.
Brother, hey, James, thanks for the call, man. So, India, talk to me about just being real. Like,
right.
I'm sure you like any other celebrity, you get recognized. What are your fans like?
My fans, you know what? I have great fans, Rodney, because, like, even from my transformation from porn to back to going back to music, they rock with me on everything. So it's like, India, we believe in you. Like, you know, you're going to do acting next, whatever. We're going to rock with you because that's how much, you know, that's how down they are. And I think my fans, like he said, my fans usually when they come to, you know, our signings, if it was an AVN appearance or whatever, they're nice, respectable guys. Like, it's not what you think. It's not like they got they stuff out and, like, suck it in India. Like, you know, when they write me on Twitter, it's all respect. Like, I love your stuff. I got respect for you. And I think it's really how some of these girls come off. If you come off with class, it's not what you do. My mom taught me that. It's not what you do. It's how you do it. And I think that's what it comes down to. So the man will follow because you respect yourself and they're going to respect you too. So that's what it is.
Now we had Cinnamon Love on earlier. I asked her
yes.
what was it like when she had the conversation with her family. I'll ask you the
right.
same question.
Yes.
Like, did you have that conversation? And
yes.
if so, what was it like when you said, you know, hey, mama, dad, or uncle, I'm about to do
right.
this?
Well, my dad has been, like, out of my life on and off, like, for years. He was a drug addict, so I really didn't have my father. But I did eventually tell him. But my mother, I came home the first night, the first movie I ever done, I came home that same night, and I was in tears. And I told my mom, and I was, like, crying, like, oh, my gosh, like, mom. Because, you know, I was raised, you know, raised in church, you know, and this was far, like, no one thought that I would ever do this. So it was really a big thing for me. And me and my mom are so close. I told her, my mom do hair. She did hair. Well, at the time, she did hair. So you already know, Rodney, in the hair shop, gossip.
Oh,
I had
yeah.
to tell my mom. It was no way. I could not tell her. So I told her in case somebody recognized me. And I wanted my mom to be able to speak up for me. So I told her the same night. Yeah.
And what did she say?
She was just like, you know, you're grown. She was like, I don't like it. My mom's never been a cheerleader for this industry. She does not like it. She don't want to hear about it. But one thing she says, you know, she respects that she saw what I did. You know, she was like, you always, you know, I came in and I came out. Like, you know, some girls come back when they're 40. I'm like my early 30s. I don't have no intention of coming back. I came in for what I came in for, and I'm done. You know, I'm doing other things now. So, and respect to my industry because that's where I come from. And my mom, you know, so she, you know, she's just proud of me leaving because she does not like the industry at all. So,
I can only imagine.
Any mother is
going to
be like that.
It's very rude to ask people what they make. I hate to ask people
right.
that. But
right.
what can a person hope to make
right.
in the industry? Because I hear people talking about the money, but then I hear other people saying it's really not that much money.
Well,
so what is the money?
It depends on who you are. Like, I heard your last interview. I just think that it depends on the person. Each individual girl is going to get something different. So, like me, I was contracted for a few years in my career, and I don't talk about how much I was signed for, but the amount that I was signed for six movies I did six movies a year, and, like, I think 12 appearances. Half the time, I'm just sitting at home, and I'm making money. So,
wow.
You know, I don't know about anybody else. And then I had a toy deal. So it's like every girl is going to get something different. You get what
now,
I'm saying?
Are there residuals in your industry like I would
definitely.
Get for film?
Definitely. It's residuals, and if you set up your deal like that. Like, some girls rather have the upfront money. Sometimes, most of the time, it's not offered, though. Like, it's very rarely offered because they rather just pay you than
right.
give you residuals. So
right,
I understand
and the producer
that,
walk away with the lion's share of the
money. Right. But it's been a few, I can say a few of mine that I did set something up like that, and I get paid still off of my toys, so when somebody buys it, I do get money from that, too. So, you know, I mean, you just have to be smart. It's a lot of girls who come in this industry, and they don't have a plan. And I think in this type of industry for fast money, you got to have a plan. You got to be smart. You got to come in with some type of plan, you know, to come in and to exit and to keep making money when you exit. So
now, it's still a male-dominated field in terms of behind the scenes.
Right.
Can we look forward to, you know, Sexy India producing maybe or
– No.
creating anything
no.
for the industry?
No. I don't have no, because I think I moved on. Like, I like what I did in the industry, and I respect it. I respect the people there. I love a lot of people there still. But I think it's time for me to move on to other things. And life is so short that you don't want to get stuck in one thing. I want to do so many other things, Rodney, you know, and that's why, like, you know, my books I'm writing right now, I have a memoir coming out. I released a book last year. It was a erotic novel. And, you know, I want to move on to more things. It's more things, you know, that I think I can do. So I definitely don't have time. It's like if you're going to produce, you got to put all your energy into that. So I definitely want to move on to other things.
You have definitely moved on and moved on in a big way. Your radio show, Dollhouse Radio.
Yes.
What was your brainchild for that? Why start that?
Oh, I started that because of a couple fans. A couple fans wanted me to do some type of diary or like a Ustream. And I was like, well, I don't know. So, and somebody suggested a radio show. I was like, wait a minute, I like to talk. So we tried it out just like a trial. It was just like for fun, you know. And we started in 2009. And like from my first show, we got a lot of people listening. So we've been on since 2009, and I'm very proud to say that, like I said, once again, the fans, they follow everything. If they like you and respect you, they follow everything. It don't just have to be adult stuff. It can be anything if they like you. So, you know, shout out to everybody who tuned into my show, who bought my books, and, you know, who listened to my music. Thank you guys so much.
She's a radio host. She's a adult film star. She's an author. The name of the book
yes.
is Seductive Company.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are on the live, Rodney Perry Live. Man, this has been the most incredible show. I got to shout your Twitter out. Sexy India. And if you want to hit on Facebook, it's at I Am India Morrell. I Am India
yes.
Morrell. And you can listen to our music on Reverb Nation. That's India Morrell as well. India, any
yes.
words you want to lead the people with?
I just want to say shout out to you, Rodney. Thank you so much for bringing us on today, because a lot of people, you know, sometimes, you know, they're so old school when it comes to porn stars. And I just want to say thank you for giving us this opportunity today to come on and talk to our fans and to your crowd, too, and your fans. So thank you so much. And shout out to your daughter. It's her birthday.
It's
so shout out to
birthday.
Her.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Let me put Ryan, my brother Ryan Evans. Ryan, you on with India.
Ryan
what you got,
Evans.
Hey, India. This was a very insightful
Ryan.
Interview.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on and sharing your experiences with Rumble.
Thank
Rumble
you.
On the show. That was very nice.
Thank you. And shout out to Mama, too. Thank you so much.
Shout out to Mama, yes.
Right.
I ain't going to even bring home Mama.
You
got
to get out of here, Rodney. I got one question.
Go ahead.
Is there anything that you require on set? Like, some people like green M&Ms or something
right.
like that. Is there anything that has to be there?
Anything that will have to be there. If I'm working with a girl, I definitely want to make sure that she's clean. So we want to make sure she has the girly items on set. So I need the Massengill, you know, stuff like that, the fresh stuff to make sure just in case she needs to wash before we do a scene. So.
That's understandable. Thank you very much.
That's not
you're
a
welcome.
Given.
You're
India.
Welcome. Huh?
That seemed like that would be a given to me. Is that not a given?
No, it's a given. Most of the girls I worked with, I'm not going to lie, they're all been clean girls. Everybody knows they're coming to the set, and it's so personal. You know, everybody's coming clean. But, you know, you had a few. It's been a few. I can't name names. But it's been a few where I had to go to the side and call the director and say, excuse me, I'm not working with her. So, yes.
Wow. my goodness.
Can you give us one behind the scenes exclusive? Oh, god dang, we dropped India. What the shit, Ryan?
No, India?
We dropped India. God dang it. Maybe she'll call back in. India, call back in if you can. Man, but either way, it's been an incredible show today. Mama, did you learn anything? Are you about to join the porn industry?
No. Lord have mercy. I'm going to pray for y'all. Lord have mercy.
It's a $1 billion industry. Somebody watching.
I don't care. I ain't gonna watch it.
All right. Well, you—I don't know, Mama. You be over there by yourself sometime.
I ain't watching that crap. I'm over here typing a sermon right now.
Speak. All right. I ain't gonna lie. Hey, Ryan. With Cinnamon Love, and Sexy India, two of the stars in the game. When you think of porn star, who comes to mind? What old school person comes to mind?
Old school porn star. I ain't that old.
I mean,
let's
what's
see.
Your old school?
My old school, one of the first ones I saw was this lady. What was her name? Her name was Beautiful. Beautiful Dior. It was the best thing ever happened. It changed my life.
Hilarious.
That's my old school.
Hey, wait a minute, Ryan. I got to bring this fool on. One of the coldest comics in the game from Buffalo, New York, Steve Wilson is on the line. What's up, Steve?
What's up, Wilson?
Yeah, that's right. First of all, I just want to say this is the greatest show I ever heard in my life. this is spectacular. I've never listened to radio or porn and watched it at the same time. That was beautiful. It was in stereo. I'm listening to her talk and watching her do her thing. It was beautiful. It was a moment I'm very proud of right now.
You all right, man? Steve Wilson, man, you got a lot of stuff going on, man. What's happening in your world? What's your Twitter, your YouTube?
Well, my Twitter is I Steve Wilson. My
what?
YouTube is I Steve Wilson.
Letter
I Steve. Yeah, the letter I.
Is there another Steve Wilson?
Man, it's a whole bunch out there, man.
I'm sure it is.
They left you the Ebonic version. I Steve Wilson.
Right. So I Steve Wilson. My YouTube is comedian Steve Wilson, because somebody asked Steve Wilson. I mean, I got a common name, brother, you know. But yeah, I got a lot of things going on, man. It's a lot of things going on. I booked a national car commercial, so you're going to see me driving around, you know.
Did you
rock
the beard, or did you have to cut it off?
No, actually, that's what they liked. They wanted me to keep the beard.
Incredible.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I was in shock because I was like, hey, I just, because they asked me, they're like, you want to shave it? I was like, man, if y'all going to pay me, this thing is gone. And the director just,
hey, Steve,
like,
man,
no,
I appreciate you. You got some crazy funny videos. If y'all want to see some funny videos, let me tell you something. Go to comedian Steve Wilson on YouTube. He's off the fucking chisel. And he's at I Steve Wilson on Twitter. Ryan, you are at what? I am Ryan Evans, am I right?
Yeah, I am R-I-O-N Evans, Ryan Evans. I am Ryan.
And I'm gonna need Ryan to perk up. I'm not liking this real laid back.
Yeah, and I'm watching it.
Look, India got on the phone. He got real sexy, didn't he?
Yeah.
Hey, we got a couple more minutes. If you want to talk to me, if you want to talk, hit the one. If you're on the line, hold, and you want to talk, hit the number one, and we'll get you in here. You can chat with myself, Ryan Evans, Steve Wilson on the line. We got a couple more minutes before I shut the show down. It's been an incredible show today. Thank you to my girl, Miss India, Miss Sexy India, and also to Cinnamon Love. Oh, my God, what a great day. I'm about to go up and get on my iPad and look at these ladies. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I'm going to show some support.
It's the whole show involved.
Yeah.
What'd you
I'm
say,
gonna
Steve?
Watch the video. I said, I'm going to watch the video and show a lot of support, too, and then smoke a cigarette afterwards.
You know what? This is what I'm going to do. what I'm gonna do before we get out of here. We lost India. I wanted to make sure we played her song. So this is her song, y'all. It's called Strip. And when I come back, we're gonna close the show out. Hey, y'all, thank y'all for tuning in. This is Rodney Perry Live.
Woo!
I'm so mad at you, I don't know what to do.
What I do, Sal?
Man, you had porn stars on. I didn't get an e-blast, a text message.
Sal, wait a minute, Sal. First of all, I'm not even going to tell the world who you are. I know who you are. Here's the thing, Sal. You missed it. It was a great show today. I got Sexy India, who is off the chain. Cinnamon Love. These are award winners. These are true porn stars.
Yeah, I voted for them. Of course they're going to win awards. I put in the vote. I'm trying to make them popular. I'm trying to keep them all employed, Rodney.
Man, hey, we also being simulcast on grownradio.com. Shouts out to my people over there at grownradio.com, Dallas, Texas. I'm coming to see y'all real soon. Sal, man, what are you like when you watch your movies?
Well, man, you know, I just like for the woman to be sexy and act like they into it, because sometimes you get these women. They just, you know, they doing a grocery list while the action's going on. I like them to be into it and just really about their business. I mean, put on a show. Don't get me a half a show. If I bought the video, I want to see a whole show, not a half a show.
And you know what? I completely agree with that, man. Because even when I go to, like, a strip club, I don't really go for the strip. I want to see that one girl that's up there putting on a show.
Right, right. You want my money? Well, you know, I bought money for you to get, and I get it.
Go get it.
Put on
the
show.
Hey, man, thanks for coming on today, man. I love you, man. And say what's up to the fam.
I sure will, Rodney.
My man. Hey, y'all,
yep.
It's Rodney Perry. You're tuning in to Rodney Perry Live. I'm about to bring in another star. If she wanted to, she might have could have went to the adult industry. She got the right physique, the style, the panache, but she decided to go mainstream. Ladies and gentlemen, actress extraordinaire Tangerine Martin. What's up, Tangerine?
You're right. You know I love porn, and I could have easily been in that industry. I loved this topic today. You had a great, great show. I just had to call in and give you some props.
Mad love and mad respect to you, sis. And the show is still on Bounce TV. Tell the people about the show.
Oh, okay. My mainstream TV sitcom is called Family Time, starring Angel Conwell and Omar Gooding. And Corey Holcomb is in it, and Richard Gant, and the mama from Martin, Gina's mama. And we have a real good time. My character is Rachel, the lipstick lesbian, so I have a lot of fun on there. And the whole show is produced and created by Benley Evans, who did the Jamie Foxx show and the Martin show. So you know it's going to be a hit.
Yeah. Now, what would, if you could ask a porn star anything, what would you ask?
If I could ask a porn star anything, you know what? That's a really good question, because how do they keep the smell? Okay, here's one. How do they go about dating in their regular life? Can they date a mainstream person, or does it have to be another porn guy because there's that jealousy of, are you moaning for real?
You know what? That's such a great question. I had that written down, but I got kind of sidetracked, and, you know, I had my lotion. But anyway, but, yeah, God dang it. Good question, Tangerine. Well, I'm going to hit their both of their Twitter feeds with that, and maybe we can get an answer for you, and we'll give it back to probably next week.
Okay. Because I always wonder, just in case I ever need to, you know, make some side money.
You never know, man. You know, apparently there's a lot of money to be made. Thank you so much for calling in today, y'all. It's been an incredible show. Whatever you do, do it the best way you possibly can. This is Rodney Perry wishing that all your comes come hard. Be good, y'all.
That was retarded. Bye. CelibateNimbo.com. Watch Rodney Perry in it.